Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Coffee and the Word on this chilly but beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm so glad you guys are here today. We're continuing to talk about new. God is wanting to do a new thing in our lives, and He is constantly doing new. He is the God that changes not, but He is the God of the new. He wants us to change and to change from glory to glory. So we've been talking for the last few weeks about new and about how God says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it or recognize it? I'll even make a way in your wilderness. I'll make a river in your desert." And we know that from Leviticus all the way to Revelation, God says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." And so we know that this is a recurrent theme throughout the Bible, that God says, "I want you to see me. I want you to see the new that I'm doing in your life, and I want you to move into that." And so we want to talk about that today. We want to talk about not only the new, but we want to talk about what holds us back from stepping into the new when God imparts it upon us. You know, as human beings, we are creatures of the familiar. There's something about human beings that we want to hang on to what we've always known. And we talked on Monday about how even children that are living in an abusive situation, even women who live in abusive situations, will often want to stay rather than being removed from that situation simply because it's familiar. So we know that it's part of the human condition that we live in that we want to hang on to what is familiar. It feels safer to us than stepping out into the new. So I believe that there's a battle that will be constantly going on in the life of every believer to hold on to the familiar, and many times we don't even recognize the new simply because of fear. We talked about that on Monday, so if you missed that, you can actually go back to Facebook. You can find the post where I posted on my Dana Davin page. Just friend me on Facebook, and you can go back and listen to Monday's message. But it was a really powerful message on what fear does to us. And we know that God says over and over, over 300 times in the Bible, God says, "Do not fear." So if He said it over 300 times, there must be a big reason. He knows that that is one of the emotions that we're going to fight with and we're going to be challenged by in our lives, is that feeling and that emotion of fear. But the emotion and the feeling that we want to talk about today is doubt, that voice in our head that questions and that says, "Did you really hear God on this? What if this is all in my head? Well, I've tried this before and it didn't work. Or I know someone who tried and failed. And what if I step out in faith and move forward and it doesn't work? What if I fail?" And, you know, one of my favorite books that I've read in my sales career is Failing Forward by John Maxwell. It's one of the greatest books I've ever read on what it means to be a success. Because really what it means to be a success in anything, whether it be in your secular job or in a full-time ministry or in your ministry in your secular job and in the world, I think we're all in ministry when we're called by Christ. And so what does it mean to fail? It means success, because without failures, there can never be success. Because I'm telling you guys, if you stay safe and you play it safe and you never move out, then you never take a risk of something not working. I would rather be moving forward and moving for God and make some mistakes and fall on my face than to sit still and do nothing unless God Himself is telling me to sit still. So we have to be sensitive to hear His voice. We have to spend time with Him. We have to spend time in His Word. And we live in a world with a lot of noise. You know, having the TV on or having the radio on, even Christian music, sometimes I just have to turn it all off. Just turn it off. And I spend a lot of time in my home in quiet and in silence, which is something I used to never do because I wasn't comfortable with that. But I find that oftentimes it's in those moments when there is no noise and nothing going on that I hear that voice inside of me giving me instruction, telling me to make a step, telling me to make a change, telling me to do something new. And so I want to challenge you today to turn off the noise. If you're one of those people like I used to be that had to have something playing in the background, some kind of music, and I think a lot of times we do that because we don't want to hear the voice because we're listening to the negative voices in our own mind. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to combat this, and there is but one way to combat doubt. There is only one way, and that is by listening to, by meditating on, and by focusing on God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And John 15, verse 5, he talks about the vine and the branches, and he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we know that whenever we're stepping into the new that God has planned for us, we have to be attuned to hear his voice. And the way that we hear his voice is in silent and spending time with him and by staying in God's word as we ask for clear direction. So I love this scripture in 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. Once again, John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we know, number one, we have to be in him in everything that we do, in everything that we attempt to do. You know, it's not good enough just to say, I'm doing it in the name of God. We have to do it in him with his strength and his ability. And then he says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. So number one is we know that faith comes by hearing. Number two, we know that apart from him we can do nothing. And number three, we know that we have to petition him and ask him. Many times we're waiting for a word from God, but we haven't asked him for anything specific. You know, we're just kind of out there floating around, and I know I've been certainly one of those that has done that before. So he says, ask me, and I will give you what you ask for. So we know that we go confidently and boldly before the throne, and we ask him. We just simply say, God, I know that my faith will be built up the more I hear your word, the more I listen to your word on CD, on tape, by reading the Bible out loud, by speaking your word out loud. I really believe there's power in the audible word. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to speak it forth and to speak it out loud. Everything in this world was spoken into existence. There's power in our words. And then he says in, of course, Jeremiah 11:13, and we know the first part really well. Everyone knows this scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. But we oftentimes don't read on and listen to the second half. Then you will call upon me. Then you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Then you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So he is asking us to seek him with all of our heart, to go to him and to speak to him and to bring our petitions toward him. And then he says to you, I have given you thoughts of peace. I have given you thoughts of hope. I have given you thoughts of good things in your life. How many of us battle the thoughts in the middle of the night? I have to tell you, last night I had a very interesting night. It was not fun. 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up wide awake thinking it's 6. I even thought I smelled coffee. It was so funny. I thought I've woken up and smelled the coffee this morning. Well, my coffee goes off at 5:45, and I usually am awake by around 6. So, or earlier. So I knew it just had to be almost 6 o'clock. And when I looked at my clock and saw that it was 2 o'clock in the morning and that I was wide awake, I was so frustrated. So I began to pray, and I began to just lay there and ask God to give me the peace to go back to sleep. But I have to tell you, I wrestled all the rest of the night with thoughts of doubt. And I find that humorous, knowing that I knew this morning I was going to be doing Coffee in the Word on that very subject of doubt. But from 2 in the morning until the time I finally got up at 6 o'clock, I kept every negative thought about myself, about what I wasn't doing, about where I was falling short, about what I was incapable of, about how I was failing. Every thought bombarded my mind. And I kept bringing the word. You know, I would say, I would quote the scriptures. I have the mind of Christ. I hold his thoughts, his purposes, and his intents. Father God, he who began a good work in me will perfect it. And he will perfect that which concerns me. And then this morning when I got up and I got my cup of coffee, the first thing I said to God is, I said, God, you knew my weaknesses before you called me. You knew everything about me. And so I am laying all of that at your feet today, and I refuse to live in condemnation. You see, I believe that's what the enemy of our soul wants, guys. He wants us to get confused. He wants us to feel condemnation. He wants us so focused on what we're not instead of focusing on everything that God is in us, to us, and he brings it into our lives, and then he works through us. Thank God that he works through imperfect vessels and imperfect human beings. But I'm telling you now, if you are stepping out in faith and you're stepping out into areas that you have never stepped into before, do not expect the red carpet to be rolled out. Do not expect there not to be days when you are on your knees quoting the word and battling those voices of doubt in your mind. But guys, I really believe that is an indication that we are on the right track, that we are on the right path. And obviously, if there's something that I am not doing or need to do differently, I want God to show me and I want to change. And I believe every one of us feel the same way. But I'm telling you now, there is a difference in condemnation and conviction. And what happens many times to us that derails us and causes us to back up and quit moving forward is that we just know we don't have what it takes. We're not worthy. We don't have it figured out. Well, guess what? We don't have what it takes. We're not worthy, and we don't have it all figured out. And that's why we cling to the vine and abide in him. That's exactly the reason. And so I just got up this morning after that wrestling last night, and I said, Lord, I in and of myself can't do what you've called me to do. But I'm not doing this myself. I'm not doing this in my own strength and my own power. And so I want to encourage you today, throw your hands in the air today in complete and total surrender and say, you know what, God, those voices of doubt are not from you. I have the faith to stand for what you have shown me and what you have told me is coming to pass. And I am standing in faith knowing that he who began a good work in me will perfect it. He will perfect that which concerns you. And then he gave me James 1, and I got to tell you, mark this one down. James 1, verse 1 through 8. Woo, this is so good, guys. James is talking to the 12 tribes, and then he says, greetings, rejoice. Okay, and I want you to focus in on this. Consider it wholly joyful whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort, or fall into temptation. Now, I got to tell you, it is tough to be wholly joyful when you are enveloped in trials. But he says, consider it. So he wants us to look at our situations of our lives. He wants to consider it, and he wants us to realize, listen to this, be assured and understand that the trial you're in is the proving of your faith to bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. And so this is a good word, guys. When we're in a trial or we fall into a temptation, we feel we've let God down, maybe we've done something, maybe we've made some decisions, and that scripture where Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, the very thing I ought to do, I do not do, the very thing I do not want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man, who will deliver me from this body of death? Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever have moments when you think that? I certainly do, and I love Paul because he's so honest and he's real. And that's who God wants to use in these last days. He wants to use those who are real, who are honest, and who are saying, I don't have it all together, but I know the one who does. And he is who I serve. And I want to point you to him, not to me, because any time the finger is pointed at us, how good we are, how great we are, what we're doing, then it's pointed in the wrong direction. It needs to be pointed up to Him, to what He's doing, what He's done in our lives. And that's our whole goal, guys. If we could just stay focused on that and get our eyes off of us, get our eyes off of our imperfections and our weaknesses, it isn't about us. It's about Him. It's about His strength, His power, His perfection. It's all for His glory. So he goes on to say, let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. So he's telling me and telling you that all these things you're going through are to perfect you. And it's all part of the plan. And that gives me a lot of peace. And then he says, if you're deficient in wisdom, ask. He says, I give liberally and ungrudgingly without reproach or fault finding. Only it must be in faith that you ask with no wavering, no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the billowing surge out of the sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. This really got me. Let not such a person imagine he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute. He is unstable, unreliable, and uncertain about everything that he thinks, feels, and decides. That is the unbelief that tries to dissuade us. That is the unbelief that tries to derail us and get us off track. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Staying in the vine, attached to the vine, knowing that you, apart from Him, you can do nothing. I want to encourage you guys to go out onto the internet and to Google search a message by Andrew Womack called How to Overcome Doubt. I happened upon it when I was studying for this, and it's longer than I can read, nor do I want to read the whole thing, but I would love for you to go and print it off and read it. I printed it off so I could have a copy of it and go back and read over it again. But he's talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit enveloped him when he was in his mother's womb. That didn't even happen to Jesus. Can you imagine? I love what Andrew Womack says. This man, John the Baptist, saw the Christ. He saw the dove descend. He saw Jesus. He actually foretold his coming. And yet when John was imprisoned, and he had been in prison and nothing was changing and he was feeling in despair, he doubted that Jesus was the Christ. Amazing. When you think about that, this man that walked with Jesus, that saw Jesus, that foretold his coming, actually doubted. And the first thing that Jesus did is Jesus sent word to him. And he referred him back to the word of God in Isaiah that foretold everything Jesus would do. Jesus took him back to the word of God when he was doubting. So we cannot allow our five senses to dominate our thinking. We've got to come to a place where God's word is more real to us than anything we can see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. So when we are in doubt, we refer back to the word of God, just the way Jesus told John the Baptist to go back to the word of God, to remind him of who Christ was and is, because faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I love what Andrew Womack says. There are only two times recorded in the Bible when Jesus marveled at anything. Once he marveled at the people's great unbelief in Mark 6:6, and then in Matthew 8:10, he marveled at the soldiers' great faith. Isn't that interesting? So he marveled at their unbelief, and then he marveled at their faith. I love the fact that Jesus is so intimately involved in everything that we do. You know, the centurion had never seen, and yet he believed. And yet Thomas had walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, lived with Jesus, and yet he doubted until he was able to put his finger into the nail-scarred hands. And Jesus said, I love this, in John 20:29, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So today, if you are in a situation and there is something you've been believing for, praying for, expecting that has not happened yet, God says, blessed are you who has believed and yet not seen. So if you have not seen yet and you are believing and standing, God says, Jesus himself says, you are blessed. God longs to move us into the new that he has for us. He will move us sometimes in spite of ourselves. And so we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we know that our strength comes from him. The new that he wants to do, he will do. He is the God that changes not, and yet he urges us to change, to move, to do the things that he has called us to do without hesitation, without doubting, and without wavering. So may we say today, as we lift our lives up to him, dear Lord, fill us today with your Holy Spirit. We just thank you that you have given us your word, the Bible, the Holy Bible, as a guidebook for living, our manual that tells us where to go and gives us our marching orders. Father, today we come against fear and doubt and unbelief, and we banish them in our lives. We lift our ministries up to you, Father God, and we thank you that you direct our path, that you make our way plain and straight, and we know that your word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And so today we recommit to stay in your word, to stay focused on you and on who you are and what you have to say more than those voices of doubt that attempt to play in our heads. So, Father, we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith, knowing that your word is truth, and that you are about the business of perfecting all that concerns us. So we thank you today for the new. I pray that we would be able to see it, perceive it, recognize it, and know it. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you all glory, all honor, and all praise.